You're going to get hard if you play us.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Can I tell you how much I appreciate that that pool right there? Like to have a good time, like to have a party?
You can, man. Yeah. I'll take that any day.
Ron, I told Tyler, you were out, but I told Tyler I kind of butchered the story because I got long-winded on the radio, but I got chased by a German Shepherd last week.
And you won't believe where his mind went.
I'm dead ass serious. My mind goes directly to Tyler.
Damn,
like,
Tyler.
Like I get mad as it's happening. I'm staring a German Shepherd that's fixing to.
Now,
I
you
feel like
me this.
Chew my throat out of my damn. I mean, you know, I'm thinking he's fixing to just grab me. And I honest
you
to God.
And you ran into a Spanish speaking German Shepherd,
yes,
too.
So Spanish
your
speaking.
Words were helpful.
And I was trying to speak hayseed English, broken
siente,
English to him.
He said,
yeah, I couldn't even, in the moment, I couldn't even think of said, yeah. I couldn't even think of anything to get the sunbuck away from him. But I'm mad at Tyler every time. It's been a Chihuahua. What other kind of dog was it I told you that was? The like swollen weenie dog?
Corgi. Corgi, yeah, my wife loves those.
And now a German Shepherd. Every single time, I don't know why, but I immediately think of Tyler, and I'm mad at Tyler.
You think he is sending his dog powers?
Unfair. Because my dogs would never be in a situation where they'd be roaming free outside of the backyard or my home.
It's more of like, see, Tyler, this is why. This is why I'm the way I am right here, because I got dogs chasing.
No such thing as bad dogs, just bad owners.
This all happened post that time you said you would leave those dogs outside for dead.
Well, I mean,
right?
I did not say that.
After that, now they're all coming for you.
Guess what? Every one of those dogs are outside all day long in 82-degree weather.
And they can sense you.
I mean, they're the kind of dogs I'm talking about. Strong, tough dogs. I'm talking about.
I want the dogs.
All right, when the Patriots scored, this is a big topic last night on the post-game show. When the Patriots scored to make it 14-7, right? You had the missed field goal in the second quarter. You had the interception in the end zone. The Patriots go down, make it a 14-7 game. And then they're getting the ball coming out at halftime. That's why I said earlier, I think the Danielle Hunter sack fumble coming out of halftime was the biggest play of the game, because it's 14-7. The Patriots are one big play away from tying this thing up and making this a tighter ball game than anybody's comfortable with. The sack fumble Danielle Hunter gets, you go score a touchdown. I believe it was a touchdown a couple plays later, touchdown pass to Stephon Diggs over the middle, and you got a 21-7 ball game, and you never look back. However, I'm interested. Tyler, I want you in on this too. When the Patriots scored to make it 14-7, how concerned were you? I'm going to tell you, this is a changing of the guard for me. This was a... And I didn't even know it until Sean asked the question in the post game last night. I was never concerned. I was never concerned when it happened. I felt like this game was at some point going to tilt heavily in favor of the Texans, and the scoreboard wasn't at all accurate of the game at that point in time. But I say that to say I am typically the guy that watches football and damn sure watches the Texans through a lens of, oh hell, here it comes.
Yeah.
Touchdown pass is coming. This is what I've been telling everybody all week. Drake May's capable of just throwing one go route. D'Amico's over there just bringing the damn kitchen sink. And I'm going, man, it's just one play away from being a 14-14 ball game. And then all of a sudden, asses get tight and bad things happen. And I didn't. It was a good feeling for me, boys, as a fan, to watch it all go down, and I never got nervous sitting in that lounge watching that game.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I don't remember ever feeling any kind of angst or anything with that score being up on the board, the 14-7. Just kept watching, hoping to see that Slowick and his adjustments with the offense without Nico. I kept expecting them to just put more points on the board, so I was good with it.
Was that a Patriots stink so bad vibe, or was that I got confidence in my Texans vibe?
That is a good question.
Mine was confident in D'Amico and the Texans. That's where I like.
Mine may have been a mix.
Yeah,
a bit of a mix there.
I'm just happy to be able to watch through that lens now and not be the all hell guy, the old my Uncle Forrest, the old negative guy. Here we go again, Ron. What about you?
Oh hell no.
Yeah, I never had any concern from pregame. They suck.
Is that my boy?
I mean, and they're rebuilding or
there
something.
There was nothing that could happen, huh, for the no, Patriots.
14-7 was just more annoyance and the 7 to where, hey, he misses he missed a 40-yard field goal or something like that. And then CJ put the ball in harm's way and a pick. And it was in no way did I ever think that thing 14-7 going in half. Never did I think at all that not only they were going to lose, but that this game would ever even be close.
And I'm
listening to Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware, and I remember I kept talking to Courtney. Like I said, Courtney, the score is 34-14, right? I'm just want to make sure I
remember. Wow.
I mean, because they're like, boy, you never know, man, what can happen. Like, man, you're in, like, this thing can happen, and they can score. I'm like, fellas, hey, take a deep breath. This thing is over.
Oh, no.
This thing was over. I promise you, Davis Mills entered the game. And when they had to punt, he said, boy, 3 timeouts, man. We've seen wilder things.
The game is over.
I'm like, come on, Vandy. Hey, take a deep breath, baby. This thing was over. I'm serious. This is one of the worst teams in the 4 American sports, 4 North American sports.
Not just football, all the way around.
I think if we tallied, I don't know much of how good teams are in the NHL, but I think if we tallied the NHL, Major League Baseball, the NFL, and the NBA, the New England Patriots and Cleveland Browns would be right towards the bottom 5 out of all of them.
How about Carolina?
They're on there too, but I think Carolina with Andy Dalton and this version with just dropping Drake May in his first game, I think they're worse.
Yeah.
I think
Stop
the Patriots
being a dumpster
are worse.
Fire.
You could see it early.
Cleveland's the bottom, right? But they are talented.
No, I think New England's
I'm not
going to
let it take my joy.
I just think the talent, like they don't, like, they still got Amari Cooper and David Njoku walking around, whether they give a damn or not.
Right.
But no, I never, ever thought the Patriots had a chance in that game.
Yeah, well, that's good. All 3 of us agree. I mean, we felt pretty. I mean, I think that's a little bit of, for me personally, that's a significant change in what the hell was that?
That's just all 3 of us.
Oh, I thought that was my phone.
Text
line. I'm like, what the hell was that?
Text line, you're lying like a something Persian rug.
Like a cheap Persian rug?
I didn't want to cuss. Persian rug. You know, when the score was 14-7, the pucker factor was real.
It wasn't. I've for about 5 years now, I've puckered up like you wouldn't imagine when stuff like that happened. I'm just here to tell you it didn't happen.
Yeah, I didn't. There was nothing.
I felt really good about what the Texans were going to be able to do there, and they did it. And it was nice to watch a game through that lens and not be nervous and have confidence in what the hell was going to happen at the least bit of adversity.
Did you see how hard it looked for them, especially in the first half, Drake May and them? Yeah. One of the big gains was like an outlet pass to Gibson, and it looked like it took everything.
Yeah.
And he was right there in front of me, almost threw it over his head.
That was one Petrie didn't push him out of bounds. Yeah. That's
that was tough, man.
It's good to be at that spot. All right, let's another conversation here, Ron, and I'm going to the tape drops. And we're going to discuss it tomorrow. The All 22 will drop, and we'll discuss it tomorrow. But just off the naked eye, y'all tell me if I'm wrong here. I loved the adjustments that Bobby Slowick made offensively. One, just big picture, is it me or did it seem like everything appeared to be more downhill? Hit it right now, downhill, let's get it. It may have still been some zone concepts, but it was all inside zone, get the ball moving downhill and hit a crease.
Yeah, there wasn't very much outside. I think Pierce's run was maybe an outside run, but really they were up the gut, hitting.
Yeah, they were trapping an interior defensive lineman and hitting that thing, and it seemed like there was a lot less of that slow developing, be patient, wait on it, and then go. It just seemed like there was more. And again, we'll get down to it, and I'll know more later on. But another thing that I was going to go berserk if Bobby didn't change this. No Schultz in the backfield, boys. No Dalton Schultz at fullback. I know nobody's excited about the performance that Dalton Schultz had. We're not talking about Dalton Schultz, the player, and what he did in the game. I'm talking about Bobby Slowick's adjustments from what he saw last week. We had no Dalton Schultz at the fullback position, leading up on or kicking anybody. Now, he did have some kickout stuff from the tight end position where he was coming across the formation, and he did a pretty good job, I think, for the most part. I thought Cade Stover did a tremendous job. He's clearly the more physical. He is trying to punish folks, by the way, in the run game. I don't know how you keep him off the field moving forward, especially if you're going to run it with Joe Mixon. But no Dalton Schultz in the backfield was a big adjustment. In fact, it seemed like the adjustment was extreme because they went with Kendrick Green, the fullback, and had his ass in there at fullback for multiple plays.
Yeah, listen, even if Dalton Schultz is having and giving 100% effort, it's just not something he's good at.
Yeah, agreed. He's not comfortable with it. He's not good at it.
He's just not good at it. And I think that was a reason why they made a move to get Tegan Quatoriano. As we said, yo, like, they pulled him off the Bears practice squad, which means he has to be on the roster.
He was on the field
so
the first
he
play.
He has to play. Yeah, so he's going to play. So it was clear that they felt like they had seen enough of that, and they should. Really, and to be honest with you, Clint, they knew before the year started. They knew before last week's game. They knew before week one that was not Dalton Schultz's strength.
Wasn't ideal, yeah. I just never thought that, like, a Brevin Jordan injury or absence, you know, would result in this. You know what I mean? I mean, it's – and I know it doesn't have anything to do with Brevin personally, but I'm just talking about the numbers game of Dalton having to do more – than just be a split in on his football team. I'll be honest with you. I'm borderline shocked that we're at this point with his physicality and his inability to do those multiple things. That's typically what $12 million guys a year do. Is, I mean, from the tight end position, you can do it all. At least you're serviceable. And he wasn't even that. So, but we'll evaluate his overall performance. You know, as the film drops, tape drop Tuesday will be tomorrow, we'll have something rolling for Schultz. I'm sure. I did like Kendrick Green though. I don't want to gloss over that. I did like that Kendrick Green in the backfield.
He's got some experience playing
fullback. Yeah, that's exactly what Sean said. Well, Pittsburgh made him a fullback. So I tell you what he does is he hits that lead, that downhill lead, even in the short yardage and goal line stuff. I mean, he's another guy that doesn't appear to be afraid of getting a penalty or a targeting penalty or a fine. I mean, he is. That's a big boy. That's a big boy getting downhill. So, I love the adjustments that Bobby Slowick appeared to have made on the TV copy. We'll get more detail and get down and dirty with it as the tape drops. This is I don't know if y'all heard this story. Look, it's a quick warning, fellas. I don't know what y'all are up to in your personal lives. But I heard this on Instagram the other day, and I don't know if y'all have an Alexa in your house. Do y'all have Alexa in your house?
Used to, not anymore.
Do you have anything like that in your house? No Spark, nope. No smart speakers or anything?
I don't want them fools listening to me.
You got Siri.
You got Siri? Oh, you don't want them listening to you, huh, Tyler?
Mm-mm.
Well, you're on the right track here. We got a Google Home, I think, is what we use. Wifey's big on it. Hey, what time is it? Hey, what's the temperature? Hey, set this timer. Oh, you got you. She didn't. I don't think I've had her use the find the phone thing.
Courtney's to find my phone.
Well, I need to give that to Lo and because she will damn sure use it. She's a tech user now. But did y'all know? Did y'all know that the Alexa? And I'm assuming all smart speakers like that. Did y'all know they have a drop in feature?
Mm-mm.
I heard a story. A wife actually caught her husband cheating on her. And the way she did it, not that you guys are in danger of any of that. I'm just saying, the way that she did it, his goofy ass was doing it at the crib.
Idiot.
While she was at work. But the way she did it, Tyler, she hit a button And apparently you can, if you got those Alexas in your house,
it'll like give you a live feed of what it's hearing.
It gives you live feed of what's going on in that room. And they had them all over their house because their kids are there and they wanted to be able to listen in when babysitters are.
That's what I was about to say. It could be good for like a baby, but
I think that's what it's intended for, not catching your husband. But she hit that old button and hubby was in there talking to his other gal, his side piece, and was saying, yeah, you can come over at lunch. She's at work. She ain't here. Caught him red-handed. Via Alexa drop-in.
Did she get up and drive over there, I wonder?
I didn't hear the rest of the story.
Alexa's got the ladies' backs.
That's just how she caught him, man. So I'm just saying, if you've got an Alexa, Tyler, you're worried about, I think, the government listening in. Hell, you better be worried about... You better be worried about
Tyler
anybody being able to listen. No, I know, not your old lady. I'm not saying, no, that's not what I'm insinuating here. I'm just giving everybody a heads up out there. Alexa's got a drop-in feature, and anybody's got access to your Alexa can hear what you're talking about.
You got to be a real sorry son of a... Some say, man, I'm going to bring her home.
POS, right?
I think they fixed it since then, but this reminds me of back in the day, right when FaceTime first came out for Apple.
Yeah.
There was some kind of glitch with the FaceTime feature on Apple iPhones to where people could, like, FaceTime dial to somebody, and they could do it without them knowing, but then once they do it to their phone, they could just listen in from their phone what was going on in their world. People were like, what the hell, man? But... thankfully, they got that fixed, I believe.
That's wild, man. If you got an Alexa out there and you're up to no good, be careful. Ladies and gentlemen, be careful.
Yeah, from the text or from the YouTube and Twitch, yep, I love the drop in the feature to call my son upstairs because I'm not walking up there. Courtney uses that as well. Time for dinner. I'm a yeller.
I'll yell
it right up there.
You just tell it in the speaker that you're closest to and it travels?
It'll go upstairs. It'll go upstairs. And they can hear it. They'll come running on down. Yeah, bringing it to the crib, huh? That's what you did. Good for you. You deserve it. All right, coming up, some news. The Texans are bringing on DeNico Autry, a player they've had suspended the first 6 weeks of the season. But as he comes, another player has been suspended for the Texans for the next four games. We'll tell you about that and discuss how big of a deal that is coming up next.
The Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in on this Reaction Monday, Victory Monday. And remember, it is Monday, and that means we are out a little early today as the coaches show with DeMeco Ryans comes on and follows us at 5 o'clock. So stay tuned right here on Sports Radio 610 as you will hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, coming up right behind us. There you go. So stay tuned for that. Some news that I know he will have to address soon. I'm not sure if it will be addressed tonight, maybe later on in the week. I know we at least hear from him again on Wednesday. So potentially we'll hear from the head coach about the latest news. And as I said in the tease, DeNico Autry, he returns. He will be back. His six-week suspension is over. Six-game suspension is over. So he should be able to return in Lambeau. But oddly enough, Mario Edwards Jr., who has been, I'd say, the number one guy who has filled in for him potentially, in the inside, Mario Edwards Jr., this coming from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Mario Edwards Jr. of the Houston Texans is suspended four games without pay for violating the NFL's substance of abuse policy. It was announced today. Edwards will be eligible for reinstatement on November 11th following the Texans' Week 10 game against the Detroit Lions. So, the minute you get Autry back, now you lose Mario Edwards Jr., who has been a pleasant surprise for this team. I know you were talking about he was catching your eye during training camp, and it continued. We were on with Travis Johnson once, and he talked about this scheme fit being big for him, and we've seen him. He's racked up sacks. He's and when I say racked up from the interior in the first six games, he's got multiple sacks already on the season. Big plays I can remember here in the Buffalo game. He got a big hit on and a pressure on Josh Allen. He's been pretty good on the inside they're going to lose him for four games. Now, Autry is coming back. This would be bigger, Clint, if Autry was also still out. But he does come back. But for you, the people as well out there, how big of a loss is this for the next 4 weeks? Now, he's going to miss the game against the Packers, the home game against the Colts, the game against the Jets on the road, and coming back here for Sunday Night Football against the Lions. He's eligible to come back after that game for the Cowboys game. But how big of a deal do you think this is of a loss for the Texans?
Oh, I think it's big. I think it's real big.
It's becoming bigger for me as going past, understanding the depth they have.
Yeah, I mean, look, when the Texans didn't land the big fish in free agency at the interior defensive line position, they clearly went the route of, okay, well, how about really really good quality, high-quality depth, and then we rotate these guys through. Mario Edwards, Foley, Tim Settle, at the time, Danico Autry, and you can roll these guys through there. Now, until I see more from Danico Autry, I'm gonna stand pat where I was when the news got out or it was blatantly obvious that Danico Autry was going to be an inside D tackle for this football team, right? I think he is going to improve the pass rush from the interior in a big way. I don't know, and I don't have confidence right now in his ability to help this team stop the run from an interior between the tackles standpoint as we see better football teams moving forward. Jury's still out there for me. Mario Edwards is a guy that I think, yes, we've rant and raved about the fact that he's been able to penetrate, he's been better in this defense, but he's made some big-ass plays that weren't necessarily sacks, that were versus the run. There's been times where he's been a handful inside for offensive lines to deal with. And so you're talking about a pleasant surprise. You're talking about a guy that showed up and showed out at the right moment. Mario Edwards has been that guy. And to lose him any way you slice it is big. For this particular defense.
Because especially to me, especially when you look at the next four, I think Green Bay with Josh Jacobs has the capability and wants to run it.
Yep.
Obviously, it looks like Richardson will be back next week or this week upcoming. Now, who knows? He could be hurt. But yeah, Still, Jonathan Taylor, and any of it isn't Jonathan Taylor because I know he's been injured too. Sermons, they want to run the football anyway. And then we'll see with the Jets. They probably should be leaning towards running the football more with Breece Hall with what they're doing. But we damn sure know if we saw the number that the Lions did on the Cowboys and everybody else they do, they are going to run the football and want to run the football. And so they are lighter there. And it's in even with him coming back, I thought his big impact was clearly going to be on the in passing downs when they can have him, Will, and Hunter potentially on the field at the same time. But if he is going to be expected to be in there to stop the run, that makes them lighter, or it means they've got to do a lot more Khalil Davis, a lot more Tim Settle to go along with Foley out there to stop the run and have him off the field a little bit.
Well,
more.
All those guys have had their bright moments. I just think Mario Edwards has been the best of the quote-unquote journeyman that they're leaning into at that interior defensive tackle position. I think they'll be okay, but obviously, man, you'd like to have Mario Edwards to be in that rotation. You mentioned Khalil Davis. Khalil Davis had a hell of, I mean, he flashed off the field yesterday. As that whole game was rolling on, he was flashing. Now, maybe because he broke through there on that illegal, on that false start, and went ahead and took a shot at the running back, I think it was. But nonetheless, I think he's gonna, him getting more run doesn't piss me off, doesn't scare me. I like what we've seen from him so far.
So we'll see if it affects the run game, it affects the size of how they want to play in there over the next 4 weeks. But there is no. No Mario Edwards, as he has been suspended for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. He'll miss the next four games with that issue. People are now texting in. Now time to call JJ. Okay,
come on, JJ.
JJ's playing defensive end. That's the look of him. Got a real defensive end, outside linebacker look to him right now. So I don't know if that is where they will go. We'll see. All right, coming up, what we saw was exactly what I believe Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans envisioned. We have got to talk about what is clearly and what was clearly the strongest part of the team yesterday in that win over the Patriots. We'll discuss that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Best bets, Tyler's best bets coming up here in just a bit. We'll hear his best bets for you to make a little cash tonight as Money Bags will hold you down. We'll see if I'll go with any of these. I know Clint's ready to blow through some money. But we'll see what that is. Best bets coming up here in just a bit. But Clint, I think it's clear the best thing that the Texans did yesterday was get after Drake May. And I don't think that was any bit of a surprise. I know we talked about it early in the week. I am certain you all talked about it later in the week, Clint, that it is made for rookie quarterback who loved, like, ready to party? Like, yeah, he's ready.
You ready to party, ain't you?
Rookie quarterback.
Hey, man, this defense gets me jazzed
turn
up.
Turn that damn thing up, cuz.
That's right. Rookie quarterback like Drake May with D'Amico Ryans and what he can do to young quarterbacks with the tools he had at his disposal in this game with the Texans, you could see how this thing could get to where it did. And, Clint, this has to be how they drew it up. This has to be in their minds when Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans came together and they're like, all right, we want to really take this pressure game up to another level. And they bring in Danielle Hunter, and they didn't even have D'Nico Autry yet, and they have Will Anderson on the other side. And those two guys in particular, between them, four sacks, a forced fumble, that kind of changed, I don't want to say changed the game, but really kind of made it a early dagger when they got the turnover, and then CJ Stroud was able to hit Diggs to make it 21-7, and that was really all she wrote in that game. But that pressure, those two guys in particular, Clint, that's exactly how they envision this thing, and that's how it's got to be with those guys just wreaking havoc and just absolutely controlling the game defensively.
Yeah, well, it starts with dominating a lesser opponent. It starts with making a young quarterback's life miserable. It's the second time we've seen that happen with a young quarterback. The Bears, Caleb Williams, week two, I believe it was the first one, and then here, week six, Drake May. It starts there. You want to talk about guys that are just some of the higher-paid edge rushers in the game, the Danielle Hunters of the world. They pad stats against bad football teams. You don't get to 14, 15, 16, 18, 19, 20 sacks if you're not just eating up the bad opponents on your schedule. So a lot of it all starts there. And if you're going to get paid and you're going to be on the radar of the best edge rushers in the game, the best edge players in the game, the best edge duo in the game, then you've got to go out there and dominate lesser opponents. And I think that was front and center, obviously, Sunday. And I think Danielle Hunter made the biggest play in the game, 14-7. The Patriots at home get the ball coming out of half.
They just scored a touchdown.
Can you go down and make this thing 14-14 and see if you can't apply a little bit of pressure to the Texans? No, sir, no, ma'am. Danielle Hunter, sack, fumble. C.J. Stroud to Stephon Diggs, touchdown, 21-7, and you never look back. That was Danielle Hunter's moment. And then if you look at Will Anderson, he had two sacks in the first half. He had a third sack in the second half. The field mics actually caught him after the sack screaming, that's three. So he had a monster career day. And, that's exactly what you expect when you've got a number three overall pick that has been fruitful, I guess, as that number three overall pick with Will Anderson has been. The expectations just continue to climb. And then when you go pay Danielle Hunter, when you pay him that kind of money and you sign the biggest free agent on the free agent market that got that reputation and that label because he's an edge rusher that can go get sacks, You expect them to dominate the way they dominated on Sunday. Hell yeah, it was big. Absolute big. A step in the right direction. Just like the run game on the offensive side of the football, Ron, to me is like, yes, it's New England, and it's not a very good football team. But in the box scores, they were a top 10 football team, top 6 football team, I think, in yards allowed per rush. You went in there and as a team went for 6+, almost 7, and Joe Mixon was over 7. So I lumped the Will Anderson in there with this run game, that performance by those edge rushers in there with this run game of it's easy to minimize it because of the opponent. It's easy to poo-poo it as all you want. But ultimately, it is a huge step in the right direction for the Texans.
Yeah, and they – listen, Will was the best player on the field to me, right? He had the 3 sacks. He also had the deflection, the tip pass that led to another turnover. So I think those two were directly affected, 2 turnovers in the game, which was big as well. Eric Murray catching that interception off of the tip. An amazing interception, to be honest with you, off of the tip from Will Anderson. He was the best player on the field. And we saw Joe Mixon have 2 touchdowns and was over 100 yards rushing and caught the ball in the backfield. We saw, you know, Tank Dell and Diggs and Stroud and all that. Will Anderson was the most impactful player on the field. And we've heard a lot about pressures, but things about pressure and why I've always, well, I will continue, I will die on the heel of, no, it ain't just pressures. It's sacks. Finishing. Is you finish it, all right? A sack from Danielle Hunter, bam, led to a fumble because he got there. Not just pressure. He got there and stripped it. As you said, the biggest play of the game. They recovered it. They scored. Will Anderson ruined a couple of drives and if not ended a couple of drives on third down by getting sacks or getting a sack that put them so far out of the off schedule that they couldn't get a first down. So I think them getting home and finishing and not just getting pressure, we could see how important that is. Now, they just got to continue to do this. They've got to continue to do this, and now Will's up to 5.5 sacks. Andre gets 3 sacks in this game. They've got to continue to do this, and they've got to bring this to Sunday's game and the game after that when they play better opponents like the Packers who you want to get after. So to me, that was clearly the best part of the game for the Texans, and shout out to Will, and shout out to Danielle Hunter. That's how they planned it to look. Not going to say they're going to get 4 sacks between them every game, but that's how they planned it to look.
Well, again, Ron, I mean, if you want to get paid, you got to pad stats against bad football teams. If you want to become a legend, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, you want to go down as one of the best to ever do it. You got to do it in huge moments against better opponents. You got to do it in Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers versus Jordan Love. When you're having to play coverage and mix coverages with your pressures because you got a better quarterback over there. Now you got to go dominate the game 1-on-1. If they dare put a tackle on you by yourself, one of those two have to absolutely dominate. Right, I mean, and we have to see moments where against these good football teams, when they allocate a tackle and a tight end or a tackle and a running back, you got to go through them. I can't remember who that was I was watching this weekend. It was an interior defensive lineman, and it was an interior defensive lineman that somebody tried to double with a running back, and it was just. It was just run through him. I mean, like swat him away like a fly and go to the quarterback. I mean, it's those. If you want to be a legend, if you want to be mentioned in the breath with the J.J. Watts of the world here in Houston, then you've got to play. You got to do those caliber things, those kind of things in the bigger games that are coming on this schedule. But a step in the right direction, and definitely something that's going to get you paid or extended here. Paid if you're Will, and possibly extended down in the future for Danielle if you keep doing those things.
That's right. All right, as we're live here on a Victory Monday, a Reaction Monday coming up behind us, the Coach's Show with D'Amico Ryans. He will start at 5 o'clock sharp, so stay tuned for that, the Coach's Show. Then behind that, Texans All Access until 7 o'clock. And then there is Monday Night Football coverage that you can hear right here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610, the Buffalo Bills will travel to New York to take on the Jets. That is a battle for first place, and I got a feeling that is included in Tyler's best bets tonight, baby.
Oh yeah, you know it. I got how many you want? Because I got a lot of action on this game.
Damn, well, let's run through it. Let's hear it all because let's see if we can make some folks some money, get some people some thoughts. And I know Clint is listening.
I'm gonna pick the best bet.
I mean, you can
give me the multiple choice answers. I'm gonna pick the damn best bet.
All right, I'll give them to you here real quick. I got a full slate of best bets for tonight's Monday Night Football game. First off, broad scheme, kind of a broad look at it. Bills Jets over 41 tonight. I think that is almost that L word, but I'm not going to say it. Over 41 for the Bills Jets tonight. I also have the Bills winning this one. I took the spread. Bills -1. Great odds for that one. I got the Jets first half total over 9.5 points. They just got to get a touchdown and a field goal, folks, and they can win you some money. And then I got three player props for you. Josh Allen, Bills quarterback, over 200.5 passing yards. Aaron Rodgers over 1.5 touchdown passes, and Garrett Wilson, the receiver for the Jets, over 59.5 receiving yards tonight. Those are the five best bets I got for you. What you think, Clint?
I like Garrett Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be honest with you, you made it tough on me. I think you did it on purpose. You know who I picked for my Super Bowl and my MVP? Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets.
Oh, that's right.
And you win a bunch of Buffalo Bill heavy stuff. I think the best one in that bunch is that top wide receiver Aaron Rodgers connection to go over 59 yards.
Yeah, the Bills, like you would think about it, like, because you feel like these two quarterbacks had rough weeks leading into it.
Yeah, it's hard after watching Josh. It's hard for me to.
But we know Josh is
he's gonna come back.
He's not 9
it's
for 30.
Hard for me to put my money
it
on.
Feels like he would do that. And then Rodgers, if there is anything in Rodgers, like from the Hall of Fame, the guy that we know of Rodgers who's won the MVPs, if any of that is left, you would think he would be coming out at home, you know, ready to roll after everything that happened with Robert Saleh and everything this week.
Team's ever been motivated, it shouldn't be right now.
Yeah, especially him. So we'll see. Good bets. I'm with you on that. The Garrett Wilson, I feel like they're gonna throw the ball a lot. I do with the Josh 200. I want to mess with that, but
which one?
Josh, you know, 205 passing yards. But they have routinely just said, "Hell, man, we'll run it.
They ain't got no dudes.
We'll throw it 15 times."
Hey, and that Garrett Wilson has dropped down to 58.5.
All right, D'Amico Ryan's coming up behind us. The coaches show. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job as always. I'm Ron Hughley, Houston. We love you, baby.
You reach in there and you pull out a cherry Pepsi.
Oh, wow.
I would be disappointed.
No, disrespect.
I would judge you.
It would be
you.
a wild
cherry.
That's a little more fitting. Wild-ass
wild
Ron over there getting cherry Pepsi.
It just hits different.
It was good, man.
You would take a root beer over a wild cherry
Absolutely.
Pepsi? You're insane.
I don't do cherry, bro. I get you a six-pack, baby.
Get me a big-ass cup.
Six-pack and a fire ant. Let's go to the house.
With some of that Sonic ice.
Ooh.
And pour that wild cherry Pepsi over that ice. Let down the